Today is Wednesday, November the 13th. Welcome to the award-winning Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key. Hurricane storms Helene and Milton have destroyed whole communities in the southeastern United States. You can make a difference. There are still many people in recovery mode. You can play a vital role in helping those affected to recover and rebuild their lives. Your donations to the Red Cross will help deliver essential services and supplies to those in need. Big Tech has been collecting and aggregating your personal data. Do you know how big tech companies and our government are using your personal data? We have been bringing computer news, hardware and software reviews, guest interviews, and news of user group meetings for the past 40-plus years. The Personal Computer Show is a 3-time winner of the prestigious National Computer Press Awards. Our only advocacies are consumerism and the First Amendment. I welcome you, the listeners, to provide feedback as to what you want to hear. Address your suggestions to Hank at pcradioshow.org. Our website is pcradioshow.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.live, that's PRN.live, streaming on the Internet. Podcasts of the program is available on PRN.live on the Internet. You can leave us a message with your questions or comment at hank@pcradioshow.org. OpenAI is putting down office roots in New York City. OpenAI is leasing its first office in New York City, raising property owners' hopes that the budding artificial intelligence industry will develop a bigger appetite for office space. The maker of ChatGPT reached an agreement to rent 90,000 square feet in Manhattan's landmark Puck Building in the trendy Soho neighborhood, according to people familiar with the matter. In September, OpenAI leased an entire 6-story tower in San Francisco's Mission Bay neighborhood. That marked the city's largest office lease so far this year. The company also subleased 2 San Francisco buildings from Uber about a year ago. It is expected to announce additional offices opening soon. Other big artificial intelligence companies such as Anthropic and Planetair have also been gobbling up space in New York, the Bay Area, Denver, Atlanta, and Seattle. After a painful period of rising vacancies, rent reductions, and transactions at fire sale prices, the office market has been showing signs of stabilization, and leasing picked up in some cities, including New York, during the third quarter. Emerging demand from a fast-growing corner of the technology industry offers another positive sign after many larger tech firms have been reducing office space this year. Leasing by artificial intelligence businesses is particularly strong in San Francisco, the city hardest hit by the remote working trend. AI businesses have leased about 5 million square feet in San Francisco, or more than 5% of the city's total office space. Overall, AI companies have signed 57 office leases in San Francisco this year, and 40 of those are from small and mid-sized companies taking office space for the first time. Demand for space is coming both from companies that are focused primarily on AI and companies like Google, Microsoft, and Apple that are investing heavily in artificial intelligence. New York's 140-year-old Puck Building, named after the satirical Puck magazine, is owned by Kushner Companies. Founder Charles Kushner is the father of Jared Kushner, who was the firm's chief executive before stepping down to work for his father-in-law in the Trump administration. OpenAI was familiar with the Puck Building, partly because it also houses Thrive Capital, a venture capital firm that just led a $6.6 billion funding round for the artificial intelligence giant. ChatGPT releases a search engine, an opening salvo in a brewing war with Google for dominance of the AI-powered internet. OpenAI launched a new version of ChatGPT, meant to mimic the experience of using a search engine. ChatGPT has launched a search engine breaking into the market that for decades has been dominated by and synonymous with Google. OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, announced ChatGPT Search. This version of the popular chatbot will let users get the latest information available on the internet. ChatGPT is not the only company to try and rival Google with an AI-powered search engine. The Jeff Bezos-backed startup Perplexity bills itself as an AI search engine. Fortune and Perplexity have a revenue-sharing agreement for revenue generated from search results that feature the publication's articles. Google also uses its Gemini large language model for its own search results to summarize content that would have ordinarily appeared within the links it lists as search results. ChatGPT has made some very marginal progress in chipping away at Google's roughly 91% market share of the search engine market. A survey of 1,300 people conducted in September by investment firm Evercore found that 8% of respondents chose ChatGPT over Google as their search engine of choice, an increase of 1% in June. While progress may be slow, and a single survey is not reflective of the entirety of the market trends shaping Google's $175 billion search advertising business, it is a rather notable development given that Google's position was dominant, it became a verb. Google is such an immovable force that even an effort last February by Microsoft to use ChatGPT to enhance Bing search results, considered a major differentiating factor, then resulted in less than 1 percentage point of market share gain. It now appears that Microsoft and OpenAI have reversed their strategy, using Bing to power ChatGPT rather than the reverse. LG shows off first display that can be stretched 50%. While stretchable displays aren't new, what can you do with them depends on how much they can stretch. That makes LG Display's latest stretchable achievement notable. The company says it has hit a 50% stretch threshold, marking the first time a display has been deformed to this degree. It's a literal expansion of the company's technology. In 2022, LG Display showed off its first stretchable display, a 12-inch RGB micro-LED panel with a claimed pixel density of 100 pixels per inch that could stretch by 20%. Its newest version is the same size with the same pixel density, but by improving the properties of a special silicon material substrate used in contact lens and developing a new wiring system structure, it has more than doubled stretchability to 50%. LG Display also claims that along with more stretch, it has enhanced durability. The new panel can be repeatedly stretched over 10,000 times while maintaining clear image quality even in extreme environments such as exposure to low and high temperatures and external shocks. As part of the announcement, the company showed off a demo automotive display in which flat surfaces can be reshaped into tactile areas like buttons or a raised circular dial. When the company debuted its first stretchable display, it noted that the technology could also be used on the outside of vehicles or aircraft. Stretchable displays may also make their way into the clothing industry because they are thin, light, and can conform to many irregular shapes and surfaces. Apple says there's a simple reason for the Mac Mini's odd power button location. In response to complaints, Apple execs said the bottom of the new Mac Mini was the optimal spot for the power button. The M4-powered Mac Mini is an affordable little system unit. One thing about the redesign still has us scratching our heads. Why is the power button located on the underside? Apple explained that the main reason the power button is on the bottom of the 2024 Mac Mini is because of the computer's size, since it was nearly half the size of the previous generation. The underside was kind of the optimal stop for a power button. They also say most users never use the power button on a Mac anyway. Are you kidding me? The Mac Mini measures 5 by 5 by 2 inches compared to 7.75 by 7.75 by 1.4 inches from the last generation. It takes up much less space on your desk. The trade-off is that you run out of space for some important things like a power button. The power button is located on the bottom rear left corner of the Mac Mini. If you need to power it on or off, you have to reach around the back of the unit and slightly lift it up to access the power button. Apple said it found that most people put their Mac products asleep when they're not using them. I like to power off my devices when I'm done using them, and I argue that the most optimal spot for a button would be in a place that's a lot more accessible. But what do I know? Python is the most popular programming language on GitHub. This is a new development in the developer community, and Python, for the first time, has pushed it to the top spot in the history of the platform. In a major milestone for the coding world, Python has overtaken JavaScript as the most popular programming language on GitHub. This can therefore be attributed to features such as simplicity and readability, which makes it more preferable in today's world among developers from all different fields. First developed by Guido van Rossum in 1991, Python was a language mainly developed for beginners. Ever since, it has been able to retain simplicity of use while adapting to the increased requirements of today's software development. Owing to its syntax that resembles the English language, makes coding to be less time-consuming for those experienced as well as the beginners. Multidisciplinary utilization of the language has been another factor that has made it almost indispensable for learning. Python programming language has key applications in web development, data science and analytics, artificial intelligence, automation and scripting that makes it one of the most diverse developing languages today. Moreover, Python has extensive libraries, including TensorFlow, Pandas, Django, and others, enabling the tool for multiple purposes, including inventing the algorithm of machine learning and typical web application development. JavaScript has always been the most popular programming language on GitHub, especially for web development. One of the most popular scripting languages used for developing complex and appealing internet applications. JavaScript is integrated into virtually every popular site currently. JavaScript not only underlies both front-end frameworks, including React and Vue, as well as back-end environments such as Node.js, but it's also received credit for full-stack utilizing across the user experience and interaction design from front-end and back-end developers. However, while JavaScript remains essential for web development, Python's growth in fields outside of traditional software development has spurred its adoption. Another key influence in making Python rise to stardom is due to the language's rich and expressive community. The language has a very high popularity, and people are engaged in discussion and sharing experience, which makes it a dynamic environment. In the report, there was a positive trend in contributions working with Python, primarily showcasing the burgeoning interest of existing enthusiasts and interested participants keen on developing and improving a tool for different sectors. Although Python has shifted to become the most used language on GitHub for the first time, JavaScript still has a strong chance to continue to dominate in software development. They are used in different contexts and can be used one after the other in full-stack projects. During such a dynamic and competitive industrial environment, Python's popularity on GitHub speaks to the language's flexibility, backing, and adoption of the tendencies in the industry. As individuals, both Python and JavaScript are taking the world by storm, pushing the developers to have these numerous tools they work with to embrace the future happiness of the programming world. The need to hone or learn new skills in AI. The need to hone or learn new skills in AI is driven by the evolving job market. There is the need to develop skills in the importance of data-driven decision-making, the necessity for effective communication, the benefits of personalized learning, and the imperative to future-proof careers. Embracing AI education is not just an option, it's a vital step towards thriving in an increasingly automated world. As artificial intelligence continues to reshape industries and job markets, the importance of honing or acquiring new skills in AI has never been more critical. The rapid advancement of AI technologies is transforming the job landscape. Many traditional roles are being augmented or replaced by AI-driven solutions, necessitating a shift in skill sets. Workers must adapt by learning new AI-related skills to remain competitive in their fields. This includes not only technical skills, but also soft skills like analytical judgment and flexibility, which are increasingly valued in an AI-powered workplace. Developing these skills will help individuals work more effectively in teams that leverage AI technologies. Embracing these technologies can significantly enhance your ability to learn and grow in the field. As the pace of technological change accelerates, many workers will need to be not just upskilled, but also reskilled. This means acquiring entirely new competencies to adapt to changing job requirements. By proactively learning AI skills, individuals can future-proof their careers and open up new opportunities in emerging fields. Future-proofing yourself in the evolving technology market. In an ever-changing technology landscape, staying relevant and competitive is essential. One of the most effective ways to future-proof your career is by taking advantage of the numerous free courses offered by leading companies and educational institutions. If you're looking to enhance your skills in artificial intelligence, several reputable companies and schools offering free courses are available. Many tech giants such as Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and IBM provide free courses that cover a wide range of topics from artificial intelligence and data science to cloud computing and cybersecurity. These courses are designed by industry experts and often include certifications that can enhance your resume and demonstrate your commitment to continuous learning. These companies provide a wealth of resources for anyone looking to invest in their AI education. Whether you're just starting or looking to expand your existing knowledge, these free courses can help you stay ahead in the tech landscape. Additionally, there are schools offering free AI courses. If you're interested in learning about artificial intelligence, several prestigious universities offer free courses that can help you get started or deepen your understanding. Many schools offer free courses such as Harvard University, Stanford University, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is MIT, University of Pennsylvania, Duke University, University of Helsinki, Vanderbilt University, University of California, Berkeley, University of Toronto, and Georgia Institute of Technology. The technology sector is known for its rapid evolution. By enrolling in free courses, you can stay updated on the latest trends and skills that are in high demand. Online courses offer the flexibility to learn at your own pace, making it easier to balance education with work or personal commitments. This adaptability allows you to tailor your learning experience to fit your schedule, ensuring that you can acquire new skills without overwhelming yourself. Many online courses provide access to forums and communities where you can connect with fellow learners and industry professionals. Engaging with these communities can lead to valuable networking opportunities, mentorship, and collaboration, which are crucial for career advancement. With the availability of free courses, you can develop new skills without the financial burden of traditional education. This cost-effective approach allows you to explore various fields and find your niche and without committing to expensive programs. Taking advantage of free courses from reputable companies and schools is a strategic way to future-proof yourself in the technology market by continuously honing your skills and staying informed about industry trends. You can enhance your employability and adapt to the evolving demands of the tech landscape. Embrace these learning opportunities to invest in your future. Presenting the IT Pro Series with Benjamin Rockwell.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and all of that, and how it all intertwines. And one of the things that one of my previous managers said a long time ago, those who don't evolve don't grow, period. And I want to expand on this, because employers are not looking for you to be stagnant. Your boss, your manager, your entire company infrastructure above you, they're all looking for people who are not just doing their jobs, but they are innovating, they are learning, they are progressing. Without building up the skill set, you're likely to miss out on promotions, or worse, you'll find yourself just completely, totally irrelevant. So how does this work into IT? Okay, so let's face it. The workplace is changing faster than you can say digital transformation. And the entire world, we know this. It's gone tech crazy, and this isn't just about the nerds. This isn't about the IT department that needs to keep up. This is about you. If you are a regular employee and you are struggling with basic tech skills, you may be falling behind. But what about moving ahead? What about moving up the ladder? Because we can talk about the basic tech skills. We can talk about, okay, I know how to use Word. I know how to use Outlook. I know how to use Excel. That's the basic tech skills right there. But we need to be thinking outside of this. We need to be thinking about, what does our IT department know? What do they do that separates themselves from all of the rest of us? And there are a few different areas which I'm going to go in, and I'm going to tell you that this applies to you, whether you're in marketing and sales, you're in HR, you're in finance, you're wherever you're at. You need to be approaching this from a, how can I be a better worker? How can I increase my efficiency? How can I be a better communicator? How can I learn a few different tricks? So, key items here. I want you to be focusing on cybersecurity awareness. This is not just the, okay, we've got a cybersecurity team and all of that. I want you to think about all of the different things like phishing emails and all of the other scams that come our way. You should be looking to your IT department and saying, what are the big hot buttons that are going right now? What are the basics of cybersecurity that I need to know? How do I protect my workplace and my job? From my past history, I'll tell you, some of the people who got the fastest exits were the ones who clicked on the wrong thing. So that's a nice, easy thing for you to learn. That is a very, very basic issue that you should be approaching. But let's ratchet this up. What's another tech item? Data analytics. Okay, and this isn't just a matter of learning how to use Excel. It's learning why to use Excel, how to leverage Excel, how to predict trends, solve problems, make better decisions, how to look at statistics. How can I look at a group of numbers, put all of that information together, and predict the trends, the future that is coming at us here in our department, in our company, and in our industry? Now, I've used Excel here a couple of times as a reference, but there are other different programs out there, whether we're talking about Tableau or Microsoft Power BI or Google Analytics. It doesn't matter what the vehicle we're talking about here is. What matters is that you're applying yourself. You're going forward and you're learning how to number crunch, not just make formulas, but make a difference. And if you've already got that down, I'm going to give you one more. And this one is looking at basic coding, or my preference, automation. Automation, and this is just taking some of the mundane things that you've got that are going on within your particular job and saying, hey, I spend an hour a day on this. I'd like to spend 5 hours automating this so that I only have to spend half an hour a day on it. And it's just finding different ways, different shortcuts, different little tricks like formulas instead of just typing it out, different little macros to move things forward. You're typing the same thing 20 times a day. Hey, assign that to a macro button. All of these different little things. Let's go back to that idea that I gave you. If you spend an hour a day on it and you can spend 5 hours and you can automate it down to half an hour a day, you're saving half an hour a day. And in 2 weeks, it pays for itself in your time, but it also pays for itself in the time for the company. You can now take that half hour a day that is restored to you, and you can start applying that to other portions of your job, your business, and so much more. These things are going to move you forward. The modern workplace is a jungle. Those who adapt will survive. And those who learn how to master technology will thrive. This is Benjamin Rockwell. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin. Toyota has a 745-mile solid-state battery. Batteries are the last big problem with electric vehicles. Batteries are the only part of electric vehicle design that isn't a completely settled technology. Car bodies did not change when electric motors replaced engines. Furthermore, no one needed to reinvent the electric motor before it could be used to propel a vehicle. However, the electric vehicle industry has yet to converge on a viable battery design, or even agree on what the internal chemistry should be. Lithium-ion batteries got electric vehicles going, but solid-state batteries will make them take off. Toyota has gone all in on hybrids. It waited until 2022 to introduce an electric vehicle. However, Toyota is now threatening to take over the world of electric vehicles, just like it dominates internal combustion engines and hybrids. After a long period of development, the company's long-awaited solid-state battery is nearing production. This could be the biggest change in electric vehicles. Toyota is ending battery complacency, as solid-state batteries will also free up interior space and payload capacity. Up until now, lithium-ion batteries have been the standard for electric vehicles. No other battery type can hold enough charge in a small enough space. The proliferation of lithium-ion batteries was a key factor in the modern-day rise of electric vehicles. General Motors' short-lived electric vehicle originally used lead-acid batteries, which effectively gave it the driving range of an internal combustion battery engine truly running on empty. However, lithium-ion batteries have not been good enough to supersede a full tank of gasoline. Toyota was an early proponent of solid-state batteries as a possible replacement, being one of the first companies to try to make them. It took a long time for others in the industry to take notice, but as the first promising test results and prototypes slowly emerged, the rest of the industry gradually decided to start investing in solid-state batteries. Toyota's solid-state battery will bring long driving ranges to everyone. Polls have shown that most people are sticking with internal combustion engine cars because they offer a long driving range between refueling. While many people could technically get by on a 100-mile driving range, they would have to add daily recharging to their routines. At present, not everyone has access to a vacant charging station every night. Toyota has claimed a driving range of anywhere between 745 and 932 miles on a single charge. This would eliminate a range anxiety. Range may be the biggest reason other car makers have followed Toyota into the world of solid-state batteries. No company wants to lose to the automaker with a 745-mile range. The battery is the biggest part of most electric vehicles, unless you include the frame itself. It's also the heaviest. From the day that automakers installed the first batteries in the first modern-day electric vehicles, they have been trying to get rid of them. No electric vehicle owner wants awkward floor humps to take away what would have been their car's legroom or cargo space. Additionally, the battery restricts how much the vehicle owners can put into their car. Many electric vehicle batteries weigh more than the combined engines and transmission they replace. Solid-state batteries weigh substantially less than lithium-ion batteries with the same charge capacity. This means that instead of holding up several hundred pounds of lithium-ion, the car can carry extra people. Toyota is not known for bleeding-edge cars, but it has substantially changed the auto industry. Toyota introduced the United States to cars that were both fuel-efficient and pleasant to drive. Toyota also launched the market for hybrid cars and later for fuel cell electric vehicles. People often associate Toyota with bulletproof yet boring appliance cars. However, no other automaker could consistently get such glowing reviews for such plain vehicles. Automotive journalists tend to look down on practical vehicles and gush over sportiness. However, solid-state batteries won't be the first time the company dramatically reshaped the auto industry. In the 1970s, Toyota introduced Americans to the then-radical concept of cars that were small and fuel-efficient, but still nice to drive. Up until that time, fuel-efficient and enjoyable were mutually exclusive categories in America. It may seem absurd in the 21st century to call the Corolla revolutionary, but Toyota's well-appointed gas-sipping cars permanently changed the industry. Less than three decades after teaching Americans how to enjoy fuel-efficient cars rather than endure them, Toyota introduced the world to a mind-blowing new concept, putting an electric motor next to the engine. The concept of a hybrid car was shocking. Toyota had to use all of its reputation for reliability to convince anyone to buy one. With hybrids, Toyota was the first company to create a market for a completely new type of powertrain since internal combustion engines replaced steam-powered cars. It would retain that distinction until Tesla created today's demand for electric vehicles. Even after American companies figured out how to make competent compacts, they never clawed back the market share that Toyota won away from them. Toyota did not invent fuel cell electric vehicles like it did not invent hybrids, but it is tied with Honda for the first company to successfully sell one. Interest in hydrogen is slowly growing. Fuel cells are gradually spreading to more automakers. When Toyota initially announced that it was getting into solid-state batteries, the response was a mix of apathy and skepticism. As solid-state batteries come closer and closer to feasible, more companies are trying to make their own. When Toyota first announced that it would attempt to develop solid-state batteries, the news attracted the same tepid curiosity that initially greeted a California startup called Tesla when it announced that it would manufacture electric cars. The notion was too silly to take seriously, but not interesting enough to care about. However, with both electric vehicles and solid-state batteries, opinion has since changed. It is now the way of the future. Although solid-state batteries have been around for a long time, they have always been very small. One finds solid-state batteries in things like hearing aids and pacemakers. Car-sized solid-state batteries are new territory for the automotive industry. Most automakers dabbling in solid-state batteries have chosen to collaborate with battery companies rather than attempt to independently rediscover several decades of battery science. It is almost too easy to form a battery-related startup and lure auto executives bearing money. Some of the biggest names in the auto industry have formed alliances with battery companies that were almost completely anonymous until they got name-dropped in automotive journals. Lithium-ion batteries are good enough for now, but solid-state batteries are the future. Lithium-ion batteries made electric vehicles viable, but they are the biggest shortcomings in modern electric vehicles. Fast charging shortens lifespan. Granted, most batteries prefer a gentle flow of electricity over a massive surge. They tend to offer about the same range as an internal combustion engine car with a half tank of gasoline, and electric vehicle batteries weigh a lot. Lithium-ion batteries can make compact electric vehicles weigh about the same as a V8-powered sedan. If solid-state batteries live up to all the industry hype, they will offer twice the driving range in a battery that is half the size. They can be fast-charged without any worries about prematurely ruining the battery, and they will reduce vehicle weight by several hundred pounds. Toyota has the funds to make solid-state batteries happen. Financially speaking, Toyota is in an enviable place. The company is one of the top car sellers in the world, regardless of how one measures it. This means that Toyota can afford to wait a long time before its projects turn a profit. With solid-state batteries, that kind of financial cushion is essential. It is possible to rush a new car body into production, but no one can put scientific progress on an accelerated timetable. Toyota's long history of reliable vehicles makes its solid-state battery program possible. Because of its famous reliability, Toyota does not need to sell its cars as hard as other companies do. The company has a near-total lock on people who don't want to worry about car problems. Toyota's long-standing reputation also helps it sell cars with new technology. Other companies would hit a wall of customer skepticism, but people trust Toyota. This could prove the key when selling cars with a type of battery that has never been on four wheels before. The impact of a more efficient solid-state battery replacing the lithium-ion battery in laptops. The potential transition from lithium-ion batteries to more efficient solid-state batteries in laptops could have significant implications for performance, safety, and longevity. Solid-state batteries are known for their higher energy density compared to traditional lithium-ion batteries. This means that laptops could achieve longer battery life without increasing the size of weight of the device. For instance, Ion Storage Systems has developed solid-state battery cells that can achieve up to 800 cycles without the need for compression or volume change, indicating a more stable and durable performance over time. One of the major advantages of solid-state batteries is their safety profile. Unlike lithium-ion batteries, which can be prone to overheating and even catching fire, solid-state batteries use solid electrolytes that are less flammable. This could lead to safer laptops, reducing the risk of battery-related incidents, which is particularly important for devices that are often used on laps or in confined spaces. Solid-state batteries typically have a longer lifespan than lithium-ion batteries. The ability to withstand more charge cycles without significant degradation means that laptops could remain functional for a longer period before needing a battery replacement. This could also contribute to sustainability, as fewer batteries would need to be produced and disposed of over time. Then there is the factor of faster charging times. Solid-state batteries can potentially support faster charging rates. This means users could spend less time tethered to a power outlet, enhancing the overall user experience. The convenience of quick charging aligns well with the increasing demand for portable and efficient computing devices. Transitioning to solid-state batteries could also have positive environmental implications. As solid-state batteries are generally more efficient and longer-lasting, They could reduce the overall demand for raw materials used in battery production, thereby lessening the environmental footprint associated with mining and manufacturing lithium-ion batteries. The adoption of more efficient solid-state batteries in laptops could lead to improved performance, enhanced safety, longer lifespan, faster charging times, and reduced environmental impact. These advancements would not only benefit consumers, but also contribute to a more sustainable technology ecosystem. The application of an efficient solid-state battery for e-bikes. The transition from lithium-ion batteries to more efficient solid-state batteries in e-bikes could significantly enhance performance, safety, and sustainability. There would be increased range and duration. Solid-state batteries can potentially provide twice the range of traditional lithium-ion batteries. This means e-bike riders could travel longer distances on a single charge, making them more practical for daily commuting and long rides. The higher energy density of solid-state batteries allows for more energy to be stored in a smaller and lighter package, which is crucial for the efficiency of e-bikes. Safety, of course, is a major concern with lithium-ion batteries, which can be prone to overheating and fires. Solid-state batteries are non-flammable and more durable, significantly reducing the risk of battery-related incidents. This safety improvement is particularly important for e-bikes, which are often used in various environments and conditions. There is a longer lifespan. Solid-state batteries can withstand up to 5 times more charge cycles than lithium-ion batteries, leading to a longer lifespan. This longevity means that e-bike owners would not only benefit from reduced maintenance costs, but also contribute to less electronic waste over time. There is faster charging times. The technology behind solid-state batteries allows for rapid charging capabilities, which can greatly enhance the user experience. Riders could spend less time waiting for their batteries to charge, making e-bikes more convenient for everyday use. There are environmental benefits. The production of solid-state batteries has a lower carbon footprint compared to lithium-ion batteries, potentially reducing their climate impact by up to 39%. Additionally, the materials used in solid-state batteries are often less resource-intensive, contributing to a more sustainable battery life cycle. The compact structure of solid-state batteries allows for a higher energy density per unit area, meaning that e-bikes could be designed to be lighter and more efficient without sacrificing power. This could lead to sleeker designs and improved handling. The adoption of solid-state batteries in e-bikes promises to deliver greater range, enhanced safety, longer lifespan, faster charging, and reduced environmental impact. These advances could make e-bikes a more appealing option for a broader audience, promoting their use as a sustainable mode of transportation. Presenting Technology Chatter with Benjamin Rockwell and Marty Winston.
That's the voice of Marty Winston. He joins me now. Marty, you know what? We were recently talking about a particular type of connector. Rather than talking about the connector, I want to talk about you were working on a project. And what made you go down that road connector? Yes.
Great question. Most people working on prototypes of things only have one goal, make it work.
Yeah.
But if you're ever in a hurry to get it to market, You can't just make it work. You have to make it work with no opportunity for the production line to spend too much time on it, with no opportunity for someone on the production line to get things crossed up or have a little mistake in crimping a connector or any of those kinds of things. So part of the design process for me has always involved optimizing flow on the production line.
Yeah.
While reducing errors all you could. So that drove me to look for ways to connect wire to board. And these things I'm making have six to seven separate PCB boards in them.
Okay.
So doing that helps in some regards, makes it more modular, more like Lego sets. but it also means, and also let you build the board separately to bring in as, hey, I got this chunk, goes here.
Yeah.
But when it's time to put them in, you don't want to poke a wire through a hole and have a soldering iron. That's not a good way to approach that stuff.
Gee, you think?
And, yeah. And speaking of things that go together differently, this is about the three-spine packed flat knockdown furniture assembly trick.
Okay.
And it's not exactly off the shelf yet. They sent me two demo kits. It's a cool new trick for creating things like furniture pieces that pack flat, go in a flat box, so it's cheaper to send to the store.
Yeah.
They ship flat. They click together without tools, no fasteners, no fittings. And when you're done, you have a stable piece.
Okay, so they're not doing the usual metal with the weird hooks on it that goes into another screw that's got a little weird bulb on the top of it?
You are correct. They are not doing that.
I have no idea what they call those, but
this one's called Three Spine.
Okay.
It's licensed by Valinge Innovation. They sent me two small shadow box units. You start with one piece and have instructions. Bring in the next with an outward slant, then pivot it up until it snaps into place. And it snaps into place because of a little strip of plastic that's down in the slot that they milled in there for you.
Okay.
The snap is literal. It comes from that plastic piece embedded into a groove at the joint. And the result, as the website claims, is it flawless? The answer, not quite.
Yeah, when you said plastic as a connector, that initially starts to concern me.
Well, consider the kind of wire wrap things we use, zip ties.
Okay, yeah.
If you lay that strap down sideways, it's got some elasticity to it.
Yeah.
So if you push it out of the way while you're flipping the thing up and then it comes back into the slot, you've got a fairly good joint there.
Okay, all right.
That's what it looks like it's doing. Anyway, I had a slight gap between two of the boards in one of the two boxes. Very slight. Okay. I mean, probably didn't mean anything. I've had worse results from knockdown assemblies. My wife can tell you that, well, she can tell you tales of chisels and sandpaper and soap with some.
Yeah.
Anyway, this one was much better than those, and most people won't notice that small gap. That's just me. If you buy furniture using this three-spine technique, the odds are it will go together faster and easier than you expect. So keep an eye out for it.
All right.
Also, speaking of build assists,
yeah.
The Evalast Hulk Fasteners Chain Collated Decking Clips.
Now, that's a mouthful.
I know, but okay. I'll explain it. The phrase, all hands on deck, originally referred to a seagoing crew, but if you've ever tried installing a deck behind your house, you know that all hands are never enough help to make everything come out evenly enough to not risk spousal disapproval.
Yeah.
It's an activity that's launched 1,000 clever products. Okay, less than 1,000 if you don't want fastener heads to show from above.
Okay,
we'll focus on a recent and very clever approach from Hulk Fasteners called Chain. It's an end groove decking board that gets fastened with polymer-coated stainless steel clips that come preloaded with screws, either metal screws for plank-style decking or timber screws. A companion hand tool, magazine loads, a 15-clip strip, and adjust for the depth of the fastening groove below the surface of your decking. So a couple of seconds with a power driver embeds the screw, a swivel away separates it from the strip, and you're ready for the next one. You've got 15 pieces of little manual automation in putting that board down on the deck.
Okay.
These chain collated decking clips and hand tools are sold at many traditional lumber yards, or go to Evalast, E-V as in Victor, A as in Apple, -LAST, evalast.com.
Okay. Interesting stuff. We a lot of building this week, so... you got some project going. I'm trying to figure this out, but maybe you'll fill me in sometime soon.
Well, when you do learn about it, it will be an absolutely transparent experience.
Okay. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin, and thank you, Marty. Public service announcements. Computer club meetings in the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Tri-State Region. Log on to the club website for more information on remote meeting ID. The New York Amateur Computer Club has a presentation, Election Integrity 2024, on Thursday, November the 14th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom, and the website is nyacc.org. The Brookdale Computer Users Group has a presentation on digital wallets, exploring the future of payments. Meeting Thursday, November the 28th. The time of the meeting is 6:45 p.m. Online virtual meeting, and the website is bcug.com. TED-Ed Connect, they now have a hybrid meeting. In-person general meetings are back. They will meet at the Scarsdale Public Library, located at 54 Olmsted Road, Scarsdale, New York, and also on Zoom. The website is wpcug.org. The Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey meets Friday, December the 6th. The meeting time is 8 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Jitsi. Website is acgnj.org. The Long Island Macintosh Users Group meets Friday, December the 13th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom. Website is limac.org. The Kings White Computer Club meets Tuesday, December the 10th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. and they meet at the Park Plaza Restaurant located at 220 Cadman Plaza West in Brooklyn. For more information, the phone number is 347-278-7320. Happy computing! Our website is pcradio.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN, live streaming on the Internet. Podcast of the program is available on prn.live on the Internet. If you have any questions for us, just send us an email addressed to hank@pcradioshow.org. In the meantime, stay in touch and remember to do regular backups. I'm Hank Key, and on behalf of Michael Horowitz, Benjamin Rockwell, and Marty Winston, we thank you for listening. Stay safe and healthy until we meet again, same time, same station next week.